Welcome to the New Zealand Tech Podcast, presented by Paul Spain, Bradley Burrows, and guests.
Welcome to this special episode of the NZ Tech Podcast. We're coming to you here with episode 20, direct from Microsoft's Worldwide Partner Conference in Los Angeles.
Yes, we've been brought over here by Microsoft to report on WPC, give you a view of what's going on at the partner community, and also talk about some of the technology and the people that we're going to meet over the next 3 to 4 days.
You're here with myself, Paul Spain.
You've got Bradley Burrows.
And we're going to be filling you in on quite a bit of news over the next few days. So this is the first of 4 episodes, and each episode we'll be covering some of the highlights that we've caught at the keynote sessions and during the other sessions throughout the day, from the expo area, and you know, really bring you up to date with the latest news and the points that Microsoft have been communicating to their partners here at the WPC conference.
Yeah, a nice hopefully 45-minute package of what we've heard, what we've seen, and hopefully what we're going to see for the next day. We're also working in partnership here with the Microsoft Partner Network, which are doing live broadcasts at 1, 3, and 5 p.m. Pacific time, and Paul and myself will be on the Wednesday, that'll be Thursday New Zealand time, at 12 p.m. New Zealand time, 5 p.m. over here in L.A.
Yeah, so those are quite interesting sessions. So in addition to listening in to our podcast, if you want to hear about the WPC event, then those TV or online video broadcasts will be an interesting way to hear from the various partners and other people that are going to be interviewed and will be on those panels. So that's going to be quite an interesting one too.
Cool. So that's enough about what we're going to be doing. Let's talk about what we've seen so far, Paul. So we attended the keynote this morning. We had Steve Ballmer. We had the head of Windows come along, and we also had the head of the partner world.
So John Roskell.
What did you sort of grab from the three sort of presentations, if we break it up?
Well, I guess the first thing, it was a highlight coming through all of those that spoke, including Steve Ballmer, was really that Microsoft's focus is not on a sort of a direct sell model, but they're very committed to partnering or to working with a partner community, and I guess that's one thing that differentiates them from some of the other vendors out in the marketplace at the moment, the Googles and so on, who are happy to sort of go it alone and have those direct relationships, Apple and so on. So Microsoft saying, look, the very large majority, I think they were talking between 90 and 100% of all of their business goes through a partner channel, and so that was their focus on the value that they get out of actually working with partners, customers also getting that value of working with a partner that brings in that local expertise, all of those extra skills that a partner brings to the table when businesses want to engage and use Microsoft's technology. So there was a lot of focus about that, but they also talked about Windows and the success of Windows 7 out there in the marketplace, and the opportunities that exist also for businesses to take on board Windows 7 for those that haven't got it.
Yeah, I think the key thing for me that I took away from it was, well, from the first couple of minutes especially, was that only 27% of the world, of the potential Windows PC market, have deployed Windows 7. So there's really 73% sitting out there, opportunity for a lot of our partner community to generate revenue. And also, for every $1 Microsoft makes, the partners make $8.70, which is, you know, you look at that return on investment, that's massive for a partner to get engaged with right there and there. I suppose the other one that really hit home was when they said there's only 1,000 days left to the end of life of Windows XP. Now, while that's 3 years away, give or take a little bit of math, if you don't start talking with key customers now, those projects are going to creep up on us and we're going to be in an unsupported state. And by that time also, Windows 8 will hopefully have been deployed and come out to market as well.
Yeah, and I think, you know, most businesses today tend to be rolling out Windows 7 in their environments if they don't, you know, if they haven't largely adopted already. I think in New Zealand we've probably got an even higher adoption rate because our businesses tend to be sort of small to medium enterprises, much easier to get traction to roll out this new technology, take advantage of the great new features, you know, the security, the deployment capabilities, the data encryption there, for situations where where laptops get lost and so on. So there, you know, there's some really enticing things there going forward.
I also liked it when Steve Ballmer came on stage. He's very candid about the level of Windows Mobiles they'd sold, which is only a few million.
Windows Phone, yeah.
Yeah, so that was good to see that there is that humility there. But obviously they're looking at the Nokia engagement to be huge, to grow the business for Windows Phone.
Yeah, Steve Ballmer was really excited about that going forward, wasn't he?
Yeah, but he wasn't his usual, I don't want to say silly self, but he wasn't that usual over the top. He was actually, you got a lot out of his presentation this morning, I felt. He actually gave across some real value rather than just being an entertainment. He actually gave out real facts, real interesting things that we all wanted to know about at this point in time.
Yeah, and the focus was very much around Windows today, wasn't it? Windows 7, and Windows 8, and it was interesting hearing some of the bits and pieces around Windows 8. Mostly their discussion was, in fact all of it really was a recap of information we've heard before about Windows 8, wasn't it? There wasn't any new information really released today, you know, just really highlighting that at the Build event, which is coming up in mid-September.
Yep.
That will be the event where developers and hardware manufacturers, Microsoft's various other partners, will be able to come up to date with exactly what is happening with Windows 8. I imagine also in that timing, we're gonna hear a little bit more about how far off Windows 8 is, because that's something that's not really very clear at the moment, is it?
No, I'm also hoping in that Build conference we'll get our hands on a beta. That would be gold for everyone to sort of play with. But moving on from just stepping out from the keynote for a second, we're obviously recording this in the main hall here, where the exhibition centre is, the Solution Innovation Centre, as they're calling it. What have you seen around here that you've really liked so far? I mean, there's a lot to cover.
Yeah, Brad, the things that sort of jumped out, there's some really cool hardware, things like the Surface 2 system, which is that, you know, big touchscreen system which you can interact with. It's got these sort of pixels in it that are cameras, so you know, you can touch it and it sees what you're doing. You can have multiple people interacting with it. You can put objects on it. There was a really cool application that we saw, which was basically a turntables and a mixer that was set up entirely interactive. You know, real full size of that type of equipment, but all touch based, pulling out an audio library. We had a little bit of a play around with that, and you can scratch the records and, you know, do all the usual mixing things and so on, and really, really nice.
So, I mean, for the partner community, I think one of the big things you're going to see is the Surface device that we saw is literally, it's a TV. It's probably 3 inches thick, give or take. But what you're going to be able to do is, I think you're going to see a lot more development, because it's all built on Windows 7. So a lot of the applications that I think a lot of partners and ISVs are developing on now will be able to translate across into that Surface world using the Surface Software Development Kit, or SDK. And I think we're going to see a lot more rich applications start to populate that Surface world.
Well, the pricing of it's coming down, isn't it? So
huge,
it becomes much more accessible to say, well, actually, it'd be really great to have an interactive board on the wall, and you know, for this particular requirement, or for you know, a particular business that wants to open up that that capability, and it can be on the wall, or it can be in a I guess a coffee table style situation as well, kind of.
Yeah, and I think a lot of the casinos, and I understand some of the mobile phone stores over here have actually got surfaces where you walk in with your phone, you place it down, doesn't matter what model it is, you can then go through your accounts, top up, and do a whole lot of other services from there. So I totally agree with you. I think that's been one of the brief things we've seen. But just to give you, the listeners, a bit of an idea, there's 180 vendors here. This thing's probably the size of 2 to 3 rugby fields at the moment. It's absolutely ginormous. We've got everyone from AMD, Intel, HP. We've got military hardware here for in the computer
that
world.
That stuff looked really cool, actually. I'm keen to have a little bit more of a look at that. Yeah, as we look out of the window of the booth that we're recording from, we can see, you know, just so many different technology brands represented, and you know, there's sponsors here, everyone from AMD through. This morning, at one of the things that happened at the keynote was the sort of awards presentations, and we had Green Button from New Zealand who featured in those awards. So we'll be working to have a little bit of a chat to those guys over the next couple of days. So there's a lot more content that we hope to be able to bring you throughout these next four sessions.
Yeah, and I mean, I think for me, it'll be catching up with a lot of the partners over here. New Zealand's featured very heavily in Barmer's keynote as well. Team One Buzz from the Imagine Cup were featured very, very heavily. They're currently into the last round at the moment, round of six, and they're trying to solve, they've got a solution to help reduce malaria. Barmer talked about that a little bit. Greenstone's been huge. They got one of the partners of APAC. And we're also going to spend some time. APAC actually have a booth over here which will allow from all the countries for people to go and speak and talk to them. So we'll hopefully interview some people there as well and bring that sort of feel of what's going on. Hopefully the background noise is not too bad for a lot of you listening to the show. We are going to try and find quiet places around here, but at the moment we've snuck into one of the media rooms.
So right now we have some snippets for you from the keynote that we've picked for you to listen into. Quite interesting. Included in there is the promo for the Imagine Cup event, including the team that came from New Zealand that we mentioned a little bit earlier. What are they called?
Team One Buzz from Auckland University. Great team. And they're in the final six right now. So let's cross over and hear from them.
Well, thanks. I am beyond excited to have a chance to be here today at WPC. I have to say, and I know I've said this before if you've been to previous WPCs, but I'm going to share it again today, well, privately for you. About the most exciting thing I get to do in any 12-month period of time is come to this conference. Last year, I basically said at this meeting, we're all in on the cloud, 100%, and we need partners who want to come with us. Doesn't mean that the business has all transitioned in the last 12-month period of time, but we're all in. It is where things are going. In fact, we got 41,000 partners now who identify themselves primarily as cloud partners. Last week, I had a chance to do probably the second most exciting thing I get to do every year, and that's to, or at least this year, I had a chance to go to New York and meet with a group of about 500 university students who are competing in a competition that we call the Imagine Cup. We had over 380,000 students start out in the competition. That's very good for all of us who need to employ talented young people with skills in these areas. And they came together to work on programming projects with a team from their school, and in general, focused in on the applications of technology to some of society's most important problems.
Go New Zealand! Whoa!
Well, our project is a malaria intelligence system. It's a system that fights against malaria, which is one of the world's most deadliest diseases. So we are using state-of-the-art Microsoft technologies and the Azure cloud platform to revolutionize the fight against malaria.
Whether you're hearing from a partner in Japan about earthquake and tsunami relief, or we see the interesting and exciting work that students can conceptualize, it should remind all of us what the real motivator and excitement and fun is of being in this business. And that's to transform society. With Bing, we've taken a simple point of view. People don't want to search. They actually want to decide and take action. Decide and take action. And in everything we're doing with Bing, and we'll show you a little demo here in a minute, you can see how we're trying to help people decide and take action.
So that's it. Those are a few things I wanted to show you, but you can see that at Bing and at Microsoft, we're thinking about search differently. It's not just index and retrieval anymore. It's about connecting people to other people. It's about connecting information to places. It's about connecting people to action. It's really about getting you and moving the metaphor away from simply searching and finding to be more of a searching and being done.
Really, in the course of the last 12 months, I would say a couple of big things have happened. Number one, Windows Server continues to build market share. Over 75% of all of the servers sold last year came with Windows Server. Number two, in the last 12 months, we have made major advances with Windows Azure functionality and capability. The third thing that's happened in the last 12 months is we've really stitched together now a much more coherent and complete public cloud and private cloud story. Questions I get a lot from partners is, when does ERP move to the cloud? And I'm excited to say that starting with Dynamics NAV early next year, we will put Microsoft ERP solutions in the cloud. Office 2010 shipped last year. We've already sold over 100 million licenses. It's unbelievable. Thank you. 2 weeks ago, we formally announced and made available Office 365. Office 365 is really the broad service for anybody, businesses from very small to very large, that brings office productivity and collaboration to the cloud. We like to say Office 365 is where Office meets the cloud and brings collaboration to all. In just 2 weeks, we've had over 50,000 businesses around the world trial Office 365. That's about one business every 25 seconds. Skype, subject to regulatory approval. Skype. I gotta be careful here because we are in the middle of the regulatory process, but I'm very enthusiastic about acquiring Skype. Skype is very consistent with what Microsoft has made one of its core businesses, and that for us is helping people communicate and collaborate. I've been asked by partners, is this Skype acquisition somehow mean you're not as serious and enthusiastic about Link? Quite to the contrary. One of the great motivations in acquiring Skype is to enable the enterprise to have all of the control it wants of communication and collaboration through Active Directory and through Link, and yet be able to connect people within enterprises to consumers, businesses, and trading partners around the world. Xbox, big year for Xbox. We launched a new console roughly a year ago. We launched Kinect for Christmas. We had the fastest selling consumer electronics device in history, fastest to 10 million ever with the Kinect product. And yet I feel like we're just scratching the surface.
Okay, so we're here in a meeting room at WPC, and apologies for the background noise. We're in amongst it at the main sort of expo area. So there's a lot of people around. Here with Dave Fellows from the Green Button in New Zealand.
Hey guys.
How you doing?
Very well, thank you. Yeah, it's good to be here again. Here last year, and it was a great time.
Okay, so this is your second time at WPC?
Second time at WPC, yeah. And I think when we look back, where we were last year and where we are this year, it's pretty amazing for us. It's been a hell of a journey, and we've grown a lot since then, and we've got a great story to tell today, and you know, a lot of momentum building.
Excellent. So in terms of where you were last year to this year,
yep.
What's changed in terms of the size of your organisation, in terms of the customers that you've brought on board?
Yeah, I think last year we were probably 5 or 6 full-time people. We're about 20 now.
Wow.
And growing, you know, very, very fast. And then, you know, a lot of it's, you know, you could put it primarily down to the alliance relationship with Microsoft. They've been such a strong supporter of us, probably going back 18 months now. And a couple of months ago, we signed an alliance agreement with Microsoft, the second Azure global alliance agreement behind CA.
That's fantastic.
And here, obviously, we won the Windows Azure Platform ISV Partner of the Year. So
that's a huge win.
Yeah, big for a New Zealand company.
Yeah.
So we're very proud.
So yeah. What does that alliance relationship mean to Green Button?
Well, I mean, I guess at the end of the day, it's funding to support the business that we are doing anyway. So our business is all about onboarding ISVs in the sort of five verticals that we focus on, biotech, oil and gas, engineering, financial services, and digital media. So it's all about onboarding those ISVs and the compute-intensive parts of their applications onto Windows Azure. And so Microsoft's really got behind us. They're all about driving adoption of Windows Azure and driving cycles. So through the Green Button, that's an easy route or an on-ramp for those customers to get their applications onto the cloud.
Right. And in terms of the Worldwide Partner Conference, in terms of in that mix, has that been valuable to you?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the 15,000 different partners here, and a lot of our customers are here, and a lot of potential customers and partners are here. So it's a really great opportunity to get in front of them, you know, face to face, have meetings like this, and I guess, you know, everyone gets a good buzz at WPC and gets excited about, you know, the possibilities with the cloud, especially and mobility. So for us, it's very relevant, and you know, you hear what Steve says in the keynotes. It's all about the cloud. So everyone's got their head in the right space.
In the cloud, you can say.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and it seems to be a real sort of deep dive into what's current and what's coming up. Mm. And so I guess it sets you up for what's coming up over the next term and helps you plan ahead. Would that be a fair thing to say?
Yeah, definitely. You know, we've just got a new sales guy that started up in Seattle, and so our pipeline is growing immensely. And so we're all very busy in the tech team back home trying to keep up with it all. But, you know, some really big names that some we can't mention. But you know, Halliburton and other really big guys and the big sort of household names that we're getting on board.
That's great. I think it's really exciting, for us to hear about New Zealanders that are really achieving so much on a global scale.
Yeah, there should be a big announcement coming up in SIGGRAPH next month around one of the partners we're working with. I think some in New Zealand know about this already, but very good story.
So you mentioned Azure.
Yep.
Green Button's built their platform around Azure.
That's
so
right.
What have been the pros and cons that you've seen as you've started to develop on this new Microsoft Cloud platform?
Yeah, so as I said, we've been working with about 18 months now, and it's been quite a journey, and you know, an evolutionary journey from the platform's point of view as well as ourselves. And you know, I think it's fair to say we've had some pain along the way where Azure's sort of dropped out and done some funky stuff on us. Christmas Eve actually, when our website went down, and I was on a yacht down in the Sounds, connecting up, trying to know what this issue was. But overall, I mean, I must say that the Azure platform and the development environments and the whole experience of developing and working with Windows Azure is extremely rewarding, and you know, it's really about that innovation cycle. We've been able to sort of iterate with ideas and migrate them into a live environment in a very rapid and short time frame, which you couldn't do when you're trying to deal with your own on-premise infrastructure. So it really, you know, it's enabled massive opportunities for our business, and I can see it doing the same for others, especially, you know, smaller startup companies.
And the roadmap for Azure, have you had much visibility of that? And if so, does it excite you?
Yeah, so we actually just came back a few weeks ago from some scalability testing with the App Fabric team in Redmond, which is really good. And so we're pretty closely tapped in with those guys and what they're doing, and some of the new features around sort of messaging and treating applications and all the different services involved as a single cohesive unit, and being able to manage them easier is pretty cool stuff. So they've got some cool ideas, and I think, you know, the building out the whole platform, I think, is going to be a really powerful concept and make, you know, the developers' lives a lot easier, and I guess people can start thinking about you know, more innovative ways of putting these solutions together. And also very key for us is we're hoping to see some high performance computing focused infrastructure actually coming on board into the platform as well. So there are limitations today at what sort of workloads we can run on Azure, because it's not designed to be a supercomputer center, but you know, in the future that those should disappear.
That's cool.
Which would be cool. Yeah.
Yeah, so you mentioned before it's early on, some issues in terms of reliability. How are you finding the platform?
Oh, it's very, very good now, very solid. Okay. So yeah, we haven't had any problems for a while, which is good. Touch wood.
So I've got a bit of a curveball question for you. If you remove your green button hat for a moment, and you actually just look around the hall where we are now, what technology have you actually seen, just as an enthusiast of technology, that you think you've gone, wow, that's really cool?
Well, I mean, I must say I'm a big fan of the new Windows Phone 7 platform. I think having a more cohesive platform across, you know, your phone, your computer, or your slate or whatever it is, I think is pretty compelling. I know I have to do a couple more laps of the floor and check out what everyone's up to. Yeah, it is. It's really huge. Yeah, but I do like Microsoft's end-to-end strategy of bringing everything together and having a single cohesive platform, and everything's nicely connected. So, you know, I think they've got a pretty unique solution there.
Cool. Excellent.
So Brad, we've seen some fairly interesting things out there on the floor today in the Expo area, or what's the what are they actually calling it? It's got an official name up there, Expo area.
So everyone laughs about this, but it's called the Solutions Innovation Center, or as we've just called it, the Expo area now. But yeah, as Microsoft does, they put nice long names around something very, very simple. We've only managed to cover about a third of the Expo floor, and yeah, like you said, what we've seen, there is some amazing technology. Yeah.
And I guess their name, they're trying to give away how cool it is, but I just can't remember all these different names for the different areas. So, you know, we're looking out on it now from a different perspective at a different angle. And, you know, we're seeing a whole bunch of stuff and brands that are represented. There's Sitecore, which is a big content management system that's .NET based. We've got a big booth there for AMD, for Bing. And one thing that we've just been looking at is a product called Swivel. Now that's from a California company just up near Malibu, which is an area where we went for a drive the other day as we were having a look around the LA region. And this company is called Facecake. Now what they're doing is actually really is really interesting. They've taken the Kinect, which is from the Xbox, and then they've used the developer's toolkit to plug that in to a Windows-based system for our home shopping, effectively. So what we saw was a demo where a lady jumped in front of the Kinect, and then she was basically able to pick out different clothes to try on, handbags, belts, all sorts of fashion accessories, and it uses the augmented reality. Brad, you had a look at this. What did you think?
Yeah, look, I'm actually looking across at it right now as we do this from our press room, and it's absolutely fantastic. So what it enables you to do, and I'm watching a woman do this right now, she's actually trying on a wedding dress. Now she's standing in front of it, she's using her hands to scroll through the different sized wedding dresses. It fits naturally around her, so automatically sized, and then she's able to shop, change colors, and do all those things just by using her hands. And what the idea is that you can actually, like the home shopping network on your TV, but you can now do this with a Kinect and actually buy and purchase these clothes through the Kinect augmented reality system.
And one of the things there is you get a chance to, I guess, as if you're a consumer, you'd get a chance to try out a lot more products. You know what it's like. You go into a changing room, you can only take two or three items in there, and then it takes so long to put them on and off. With this, you can jump in and you just wave your arm and point at the thing you want to try on, and instantly you're wearing it.
it does some other cool stuff. So for instance, you can choose, well, how would that look at the beach? And you know, before you know it, you know, you've got a beach scene behind you. Yeah, there's a bunch of stuff like that. It's very, very cool. And, yeah, and as Brad says, you know, it sizes things up for you. So you grab a belt and it you know, makes it fit for you. The clothes and so on, again, automatically you know, applied appropriately.
Yeah, I'm just watching this lady. She's now trying on a purple sweatshirt, and she put a jacket on over the top. So it had the smarts to actually put her in the snow, so it actually looked like what it would feel like if you're in a cold conditions and stuff. So it's actually got that intelligence built in, designed on the clothing. So it is something very, very cool to see a consumer product in a business environment. And I think another one that we saw this afternoon, we had the privilege of actually sitting down talking with the Vice President of Microsoft Healthcare, and she was telling us how now a lot of hospitals are using Connect and that technology to actually navigate through x-rays. So they're actually able to use their hands to actually move around an x-ray and swivel something three-dimensionally. And it shows the consumer products moving into the business world. And I think we're going to see a lot more of this now with the SDK or software development kit coming out, and a lot of partners building up on this technology for business applications.
Yeah, and I mean there are just so many partners here, and I think one of the things that is quite unique about Microsoft is they partner with all sorts of organizations. So, you know, of course, across New Zealand, we've got a whole mix of organizations that are Microsoft partners. You know, many of those are, software firms, we've got service firms, we've got resellers, we've got the retailers out there as well. But, you know, globally and represented here, we're a whole range of organizations that, you know, we might not have even clicked upon as being Microsoft partners. So one of the guys we chatted to a little bit earlier was the CEO of a company called Parallels.
Oh yeah.
And you know, they've got some amazing software that virtualizes Windows on a Mac environment. Now they're now, that's traditionally been a play, I guess, in the consumer space for home use and so on. Now they're moving into a real enterprise type software offering there. So we're going to try and chat a little bit more to them over the course of the next few days. But you know, they're just examples of the sort of people that are available and accessible here to talk to. So it's really easy to not just get a handle on the roadmap of what Microsoft are doing, but other partners like Citrix, AppSense, Parallels, you know, so many other vendors, and get a handle on, well, where are things going to be in the next 12, 24, 36 months. And a lot of these guys are quite open to talking about where they see things going with their software, how they see that integrating with the Microsoft stack.
No, I think you've raised a good point there too, is that it's great to hear from the Microsoft people about what the roadmap is, but seeing that technology actually used in the real world and how the innovation is going on with that technology and beyond what Microsoft's original vision of it is really incredible, because I think that's where we're seeing partners actually just start to bend and mold it into something from a Microsoft perspective, actually into real world perspective. And I think we've had a really good dose of that today, just walking around and just looking, like I said, only at a third of the areas, but there are so many partners here doing everything from BI portals to plugging into Office 365 and SBS Essentials, which just got released the other day. They're doing Exchange plugins. We're seeing a lot of that ISV development, and it's great to see partners actually taking what Microsoft does and actually making it work in the real world. And I think that's been a real eye-opener for me around here.
Yeah, and you know, the other side we saw is the sort of hardware that's being tied in with Microsoft software. One of the things that we saw earlier was a sneak peek at the new HP tablets.
Oh,
these
yes.
little slate devices that are very much in that sort of iPad type size. Probably the closest thing we've seen in terms of physical dimensions to the iPads. Really nice light unit, but running Windows 7. And yeah, that was really cool. Now our understanding
is smoking hot.
Yeah, that's the same hardware that HP are going to also use with their web OS stuff. but great that they're delivering it at the same time with the Windows 7 platform. And I think that's a great peek at what we're likely to see with Windows 8 when that comes to market, because you know, if they can deliver this now, then what we're going to see in the future with the smaller form factors and the system on a chip technologies coming through for Windows 8, that's going to be something really exciting.
Yeah, look, and I mean, this HP hardware, just to give you a bit of a description, I think it was a 7-inch tablet device. It was a little bit thicker than an iPad, but it had a rugged back, so you had good grip, dual-facing cameras, USB port in it, HDMI, but it came with a really intelligent docking station, which third parties have been developing for the iPads, but this docking station comes as part of it. It gives you an additional 4 USB ports and an HDMI port, so it's already natively built in. It doesn't come with a keyboard. It came with Windows 7, and some of the pre-done HP applications were actually really, really nice. So, I mean, we went to the Microsoft store, as we heard from Podcast 19, and I didn't see anything that stood up like this. This was really, really stunning. Felt great in the hand and super, super light.
Yeah, I mean, it's really cool seeing some of this new stuff. And what we're looking forward to is getting some snippets on some of the future bits and pieces from Microsoft. Hopefully, over the next couple of days, there'll be a little bit more info that leaks out as we chat to some of these chaps and get around some more of the sessions. So we'll certainly bring through those new snippets as we find out about them. But we'll also be reporting back on more of the hardware and software innovations that we're seeing, and I think, you know, a lot of those are coming out of the partner community, and it seems like, you know, Microsoft partners love working with other Microsoft partners to bring these things together and to get them out to the market. Certainly we're hoping that some of the best things we're seeing here that aren't represented in New Zealand yet are going to be seen by the partners that are here, and will bring these products back to New Zealand. A lot of these companies are saying, oh, look, you know, we haven't yet established a connection into the New Zealand market yet, so anything you can do to connect us would be great. Often they're in Australia and you know, a lot of the bigger markets, but they are interested in plugging in and getting these products into New Zealand. So, you know, we hope we'll see that coming through.
Yeah, and I suppose I've just got two little things from people I've spoken to in the partner world here, is that my two little observations as well is Azure is massive over here, absolutely massive. The cloud stuff for a lot of the partners here, they're just working on Azure, and every time I speak to them, I say, well, how would you like, what are you doing in New Zealand? Paul's right, they get to Australia and they're saying, we're doing, New Zealand does some amazing applications with Azure, but our partner community, I think we need to work better with some of these American partners to leverage and pull that down. So I think there's a lot of opportunity for the partners that are listening to this podcast to leverage that. And I mean, as we've seen what Greg Button have done, they've done some amazing stuff there.
Yeah, and there's just great opportunities for New Zealand companies in general who love to innovate with technology, to share what they're doing on a global platform, but also to take advantage of you know, many of these innovations that are happening globally, but it might be quite hard to hear about them at home in New Zealand. So you know, certainly for those who have made the investment and have taken the time out to get up here to WPC, you know, those organisations that want to stay at the forefront of what technology is doing, you know, those partners that are making that effort, I think that they're going to come back with some great things. I'm certainly excited about the opportunities we'll learn from my own company.
Are you super excited?
Gorilla Technology. Super excited. That's so the catchphrase, isn't it? There's so many of these keynotes where the guys jump up and say, oh, I'm super excited.
Yes, we've had quite a few of those.
You've got to laugh at some of the buzzwords coming out of these guys, don't you?
But so we also managed to get our hands, as we mentioned earlier on, we were lucky enough to be have a precursor to the actual hall here, or the expo, before everything was put together, and we got our hands on a Surface device. Now we got a minute. Now we had a minute yesterday, but we had a good 10 minutes on Surface 2 today, and this thing is what I wish Surface 1 had been. It is stunning. I mean, I thoroughly enjoyed it. There were 20 apps in total, I think I counted. The DJ stuff, I think we talked about, but there was everything from actually seeing how the thing worked to the infrared cameras to a grand piano on there. So Surface 2 looks really good. There are a lot of companies developing for Surface 2 now, which is great to see. And again, it's built on Windows 7. I mean, what were your thoughts, Paul?
Yeah, really nice. I mean, there'll be certain sectors where these things get picked up. And, you know, we're seeing in the US where these are being used in retail environments. They're being used in things like hotel lobbies so that people can, you know, find out, you know, what's happening in a particular area. I mean, it's very easy to custom develop for the Surface environment because it uses all the standard Microsoft tools, right? So, you know, very easy to leverage this stuff in particular environments where you want to create that, a really easy experience for a user for a very specific requirement. The other things, it's quite common in casinos and so on.
Yes.
Any environment where someone just needs to walk up, grab some information without necessarily having to deal with an individual person, they can draw on a whole, you know, big database of information, local information or otherwise.
So the other thing I've noticed too, also walking around the little bit we've had, is Intune. Now, at the keynote today, you will have heard from just previously when Steve Ballmer announced Intune 2 beta, public beta is now available. So to all the partners listening to this podcast, you can now get this straight away. But there are a lot of Intune partners over here, and they're really excited about Intune 2. I think it's still got a gap on some of its competitors, but they're definitely closing fast, and their cycles of innovation are getting smaller and smaller, they're coming in faster and faster.
Yeah, so I mean, what I'm seeing there, it looks as though there's going to be a new version. It's going to be less than 12 months between releases. That's certainly what I'm picking from the bits and pieces that we've heard out there. They haven't made any official announcement on when the next version of Intune is going to launch, but this new version will allow some tie-in with third-party applications and, you know, hopefully some third-party patching and so on as well. I'm not aware of it covering servers yet, but you know, it's good to see some you know, continued new capabilities coming out into these cloud-based products. And you know, really the focus here is so heavily on the cloud. Everything is around the cloud, isn't it, Brad?
Yeah.
Office 365, people seem you know, pretty pleased to have seen Office 365 launch a couple of weeks ago.
They're super excited about it.
They're super excited, exactly. And you know, as Brad said, you know, the Azure platform seems to be getting picked up for all sorts of things. So you know, Intune just sort of slots in there alongside that. And I guess there'll be more things that we'll hear about over the next few days that sit in the cloud that maybe we haven't seen before.
Yeah, I mean, we're actually privy to some NDA information around what's going to be announced in the server environment. Now, we're going to be going to that session tomorrow. Once that's happened, we'll be able to sort of announce what we're seeing, but some of that we know what's coming up. It's going to be amazing. We can't wait to talk about that side of business as well. And the final thing for me, I think, was we alluded to, is also CRM. CRM is massive in the cloud. I think they describe the cloud as small screen, medium screen, large screen. Did I get that right? Or was it
And I think that's an area where Microsoft is really making a play to sort of cover all of the bases with their ecosystem, from the Windows Phone, which, you know, as we know at the moment, you know, hasn't taken too much share of the market just yet.
But and Ballmer commented about that,
and he did. Yeah, he was straight up about that. And then, you know, you've got the PC and the tablet sort of, you know, filling in that sort of middle size screen, and then you've got the home entertainment and the TV type screen. And it's really nice how these products are starting to come together across that space. Now, we saw a little bit of a preview of some of the Xbox stuff coming up there, didn't we, Brad?
That looked
really nice. In fact, when I looked at it, it was almost as though you're looking at the previews we've seen of Windows 8. That, you know, it carries that same Metro look and feel that's across Windows phones. So I think, you know, we're seeing a convergence of the user interfaces, and the way that was demoed was all with the voice control. And it was great, you know, the Bing search stuff being integrated into the Xbox environment, you know, where you say, you ask the Xbox for a particular thing, and it's searching for games that fit your search. It's searching for
movies,
movies and music and so on, and it just pulls all that together. Really, really nice.
Yeah, look, I mean, I suppose the next level I see it taking to is, besides the new UI interface, which is completely different to what we have now, just to be clear, completely different. I see it being, with Bing Search in there, is that businesses will be able to plug into that. So that if you have a promotion on, and I'm a book on Harry Potter, for instance, and you go Harry Potter, I can see that sort of stuff being brought in where you've got that digital media available through this almost multimedia device, because there's live TV now on the Xbox. So it's not, it's becoming a PVR or personal video recorder, but it's also becoming this tool where you can buy things online with your voice, as well as watch movies, play games, listen to radio stations, surf the internet. So it's becoming this huge entity that of this backbone, this service, and I think I'm really excited by it.
Well, it looks cool. What we don't know, and this is always a challenge being in New Zealand in terms of which bits and pieces of it are coming to New Zealand. So there haven't been any official announcements around, you know, streaming TV in New Zealand and the music side. We do know from some bits and pieces we've heard out there that Microsoft are likely to make some announcements around the Zune music ecosystem over the next few months or few weeks, and so at that stage we'll hear whether New Zealand has been picked up yet for inclusion in that. But you know, it's great to see these things at least moving forward in some good leaps, and you know, sure, there will be some good opportunities for New Zealand organisations to make the most of of some of the new technologies. I think the Xbox environment is one that seems to be picking up pace now, really. I mean, their sales are pushing back up again, aren't they? After they slackened off a little bit last, probably early last year.
They're number one at the moment for consoles.
So
they're absolutely
doing pretty well.
The Kinect has just absolutely taken the Xbox to the next level, and Barmer alluded to that. I think the way they've revolutionised the platform, the hardware, and you keep everything moving along, I'm really pleased with where they're taking things, because Sony there for a while was leading it quite heavily. They overtook Wii, and now I think the Xbox overtaking both of them. It'll be interesting to see when the Wii U comes in, but again, I think that's a different podcast for us to discuss that on.
So. Sure, I'll be looking out just to see how Microsoft can open this up to the to partners in New Zealand, and how New Zealand organisations can make use of these. I've seen some of the US Xbox things where you go in and there's content, advertising, giveaways, all sorts of things from retailers and brands and various organisations within the US market space. So hopefully we'll see more of that type of thing opening up within New Zealand. So that looks cool.
So what have we got coming up tomorrow, Paul? We've got a huge day tomorrow. So what are we going to preview?
Yeah, so we've got the keynote in the morning.
Yep.
That's going to be an interesting one. We dive into a whole bunch of sessions during the day. We'll be getting around some more of the stands here in the innovation center or the expo area.
We've got some partner interviews we'll be doing tomorrow, aiming
to chat with some more partners, and generally we're going to be getting worn out running around all over the place.
So one of the key things we want to sort of also highlight to the listeners here is that there's also a live Ustream happening at the moment, which is the Microsoft Partner Network. That's ustream.com/MPN live. They broadcast 1 p.m., 3 p.m. and 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And if you want to watch those shows, Paul and myself will be actually on the Wednesday 1 p.m. show.
That'll be Thursday New Zealand time.
Thursday,
about 8 a.m.
8 a.m. will be our slot. If you want to go along, and there's some really neat guests on there at the moment. Today we had the pleasure of actually working with Mary Jo Foley, who's very famous from the ZDNet. Did I get that right?
ZDNet.
I always get that wrong. And she was there and she was on the show today. So we follow Sir Richard Branson after his keynote on Wednesday our time. time, Thursday New Zealand time. So if you can tune into those sessions, there is a lot of value there around some partners and also Microsoft people talking about what's going on and what's their space as well.
Yeah, so the keynotes, the vision keynotes we've got coming tomorrow are covering off, are focused on the cloud and smart devices. So you know, we're interested to hear whether there's going to be some new information there, but certainly you know I think that's going to be a good listen in, and if possible we'll grab some snippets out of those keynotes like what we've done today with some of the keynote content as well, and include that within the podcast.
Cool. So that's all from us here in LA. We're having our first day at WPC. Hopefully you enjoyed the show. We'll be doing another wrap-up tomorrow with, as Paul mentioned, more guests. And we've had some great sessions today with some very interesting people. And I think we've got a lot more to see over the next 2 days, Paul.
Yeah, looking forward to it. We appreciate Microsoft bringing us along to this event so we can chit-chat about their happenings.
Yeah.
Certainly there will be a lot more coming over the next few shows.
Yeah, thank you to Brent Colbert from the partner team for bringing us up here. It has been a great session so far, and I hope all our listeners are enjoying this. See you later.
Good. Cheers.